Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Alrighty. So who's ready for all the feels this morning? I saw this image that should be coming up soon. Yes, there it is. This week. And the quote's kind of cheesy, but it made me giggle. Now, how many of you actually have dogs and are dog people? That's a lot. No one really likes cats. They're evil. Now, I'm not really much of a dog person or an animal person, but if it came down to it, I would choose dogs. No matter what, they love you. You can get mad at them for, like, chewing up your shoes by accident, of course, and, kick them or whatever you do to get mad. And 5 minutes later, they're begging at your feet. They want your attention. They want your love and cuddles. And so dogs are just better. Now, my mom has two dogs. One is Tucker. The other is Domi. Tucker is disgusting. He's warty. He's just dirty. And I don't know. He's just gross. Then there's Domi. And he's like the most loyalist dog, if that's even a word, ever that I've ever seen. He follows my mom everywhere around the house, and she can take him to Algonquin or for a walk or whatever, and he'll run up ahead, and he's like a certain amount of distance away, and then we'll turn back, and if she's like further away, he'll stop and just wait there for her. If she tries to hide, he like freaks out, and it's not a good time. If my mom is doing laundry, he'll lie down at her feet, like facing that way, guarding her. And I think the best of him showing his loyalty would be when my mom is like in bed, getting ready for bed, and someone like knocks on the door for bedroom, they want to talk to her or something. And then, honestly, you can't go near her, or else you will die. No? Okay, that's fine. There we go. You literally will probably get your head ripped off. All right, so if you want to connect with us today at church, there's a couple different things that you can do. You can give with all those different things up there. You can also give online. We have crosslands.live, so you can give on there. You have access to the message notes, so if you want to think about what I talk about a little bit more, there's a sample prayer on there. You can do that. And you can also connect with us by texting my number on the screen. It is up there. And if we have time, then I can answer a relevant question. So we're continuing our series, Strangers in a Strange Land, that takes place in the book of Daniel. So if you have any sort of Bible, whether that's your phone, iPad, an actual Bible, whatever, you can find Daniel chapter 3. So over the past few weeks, we've been learning about what it looks like to live for God in a society that doesn't, all right? So Daniel, or Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been taken captive by the Babylonian Empire, all right? The Babylonians are trying to change their way of thinking and ultimately just change their whole lifestyle. They change their names, they're trying to change who they worship and everything. So through the last two chapters, we saw Daniel figure out a way to live in a culture that doesn't honor God. And today we're going to be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, see how they were put in a tough situation, but just like Daniel, they didn't want to compromise on their faith and what they believed. So I'm going to start reading Daniel chapter 3. So King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officials, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow down to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king! You issued a decree requiring all people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." All right, so King Nebuchadnezzar has this huge gold statue made, and his hope was that the whole nation could unite and he could solidify his power by centralizing worship. But the Jews knew that if they were to bow down and worship this gold statue, that they would be committing idolatry towards God. They knew that was wrong, and they didn't want to bow down. So we're very fortunate in Canada that we don't live in a society that has us worshiping to gold statues and force us to worship to with a threat of death and torture, right? But if we did, would we be strong enough to stand? However, our society does create situations where we are pressured to compromise what we believe. So the society in which we live is open to everything but the Christian gospel and the message of the gospel, right? And so what are some ways that our society pushes you to compromise your faith and what you believe in? Just think about it for a second. We're pressured to look a certain way. We're pressured to give in to sexual desires. We're pressured to make sure that we're happy in a marriage, and then if we're not, move on to the next one. We're pressured to lie. Little lies don't count. They don't hurt anyone. That's fine. We're pressured to be really successful. If we don't have money or and we're not happy, then there's no really point in living. We're pressured to be selfish and make sure the world revolves around us. And there are pressures all around us, and they try to get us to negotiate what we believe. So at your job, has your boss ever told you to do something that you just didn't really want to do? Maybe your boss wanted you to injure a team member's reputation or inaccurately blame a coworker for a project gone wrong. You don't want to get fired, but you also don't feel like that's the right thing to do. God wouldn't want you to do something like that. Or how about the time when you felt God nudging you to go talk to someone, and you're like, I don't really want to. I'm going to look like a goofball, like a freak. Like, they don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just going to be super, awkward, right? Or what about that time when you're being tested at the gas station? You're late for work, and you had to grab gas, or else you'd be even more late. And the person in front of you, you go to pay, and they just keep buying lottery tickets. Winner, ganya! And you're like, Winner, ganya! Again, winner, ganya! And they just keep going and going. Not only are you late for work, and they just keep winning more money. And so you're being tested right there to act in a way that God would want you to act. You're pressured to not be patient and not be loving, but yell at the person in front of you and yell at the person at the cash, being like, why can't you just open up another, tap and go, I'm done, right? So it might seem like a silly example of standing up for your faith, but if you, honestly, it can be hard sometimes to act the way that God wants us to, and you're not showing that those people in the convenience store that you're following Jesus. So when you're put in a situation like that, what do you do? So we have to remember that God is in control. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are given a second chance. After another, they're given another chance to give up their faith, their beliefs, and obey the king's command. And so let's read to find out what they said. So verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue that I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what god will be able to rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." So how many of you like being in control of things? I definitely do. We want to know what's going on and when it's going to happen. And if we're honest with ourselves, we often choose our way instead of God's way simply because we think it's easier, It'll be faster if we do it. It's going to be better. And we kind of live like, it's my life. I can do what I want to. No one can tell me otherwise. And society feeds us that. So in a not so funny, but sort of funny way, when it comes to control and the conversation of control, I tend to walk the other way and try not to be a part of that conversation. When I was asking like my family and people closest to me, like, can you give me an example on like how I'm not very good at controlling? They all burst out laughing because I like to be in control every second. And so there's a sense of comfort there, knowing what's going to happen. And if you know something is going to go wrong, then you can plan accordingly. Anyway, so when I started asking people, I was given examples from when I was like a kid. So I had a babysitter, and she like didn't let me do what I wanted, so I bit her on the cheek. I didn't want to give my mom back the Royal Doulton, so I smashed it on the floor. The house, it needs to get cleaned up, and it has to be spick and span and spotless and sparkling, but only when I say it has to. And I like to boss my sisters around. So there's that. So I'm happy to say I'm not that bratty anymore. But the need for control comes out in different ways, like organizing and planning things. And when things don't go to plan, I get frustrated. And so we see that happen with Nebuchadnezzar, but in a larger scale. So we see the contrast between the king who wants everything and complete the control over everybody, and three men who are willing to give up their life and give up everything to follow God. And they know that God's plan is best, and that if that means that they die, then that's what's going to happen. So my favorite part in that passage is when we read verse 18. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. So when I read this, I kind of read it in like a sassy voice. Like they stood up to that king. Like it would have been terrifying, but they had boldness, they had confidence. And these men made it very clear that they were not going to compromise on their faith, and they were going to stay committed to God. So when we're in a problem situation and we're tempted to compromise our faith, we can come up with a million different excuses. And the three men could have done the same as well. They could have said, we will fall down, but we won't like actually worship the gold statue, we'll just look like it. Or we won't become idol worshipers, but like we'll worship just this one time, like it won't be a regular thing. He could have said, like, we're not hurting anybody, everyone else is doing it. Or maybe they even said, like, this is more than is expected of us, and I think God will understand if we just, like, do it this just this once, right? And at first, these excuses seem reasonable and kind of acceptable, but it's risky. Like, they would be violating the commandment to not have any other God before him in Exodus. And also, by making the excuses, they're giving in, and they would no longer be able to have that same testimony and be able, like, for God and be a witness, right? If the men gave in, no one would believe them when they said they believed in, like, God's power, because they literally just bowed down in front of the gold statue in front of everyone, right? They're not going to believe you. So instead of denying God, they chose to be faithful. They chose to stand up for their faith. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego let go of the situation and placed it completely in God's hands, right? They believed that God would deliver them either by, like, keeping them safe in the fire, or that they would be taken up to heaven and they wouldn't bow down to the idol. It was the ultimate win-win situation, right? They either get to spend eternity with God, or they get to be alive and continue to be a witness for people. And so there was no losing. And so when we put our trust in God, there's no losing. It may look differently, and it might not look the way we want it to, but we're still winning. And so what happens next? We're going to read from verse 19 all the way to the end. And take a drink first. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning, blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men, unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship the god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn from limb to limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. So throughout the whole experience, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are relying completely on God. The men are now sentenced to death. They wanted these men, like, the king wanted these men destroyed because they weren't, bowing down to the statue. And he wanted to sentence them to death so they could be an example to everyone else that this is what happens when you disobey the king. So our society, maybe it's friends, family, colleagues, or whatever, they may try to hurt us and put us down for our beliefs. But we need to rely on God to help us stay focused on the big picture. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been terrifying. This furnace was no oven for cooking dinner or for heating up your house. Like, this furnace was huge. It would have been used for baking bricks and things like that. And the temperatures were so hot that they killed the people trying to put them in the fire. Like, that's crazy. I hope I wouldn't run away, but, I don't know. That's just crazy. Now, God brought strength to them in that situation, and he can bring strength to us as well. Now, the great thing is that when we're put in those tough situations, we understand that God is in control and relying on him to get us through a situation. He is glorified, and good things happen. And as a result of witnessing what just happened, Nebuchadnezzar was now acknowledging that the God that they served was powerful. Now, he wasn't making a commitment to serve that God. It was more like, this is a God of many other gods. But it was still pretty big because the Jewish people now don't have to get caught up in idolatry. They now are allowed to worship God, right? And so the three men stood up for what they believed in, and they were actually rewarded for doing so. In the last verse, it said that the king promoted the three men to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. And similar to another person in the Bible, Joseph, when you focus on God and obey him, you'll be rewarded. Now, it may not happen the way you think. I said that earlier, but it will, good things will happen, right? Now, you might be thinking, all right, Mariah, I know I need to stand up for my faith. I know that there are hurting people in the world that need to see my testimony and see my actions. But, how do I make sure that I stand up for God when I'm put in those tough situations? Well, the good thing is that you can prepare. So if you want to make sure that you stand up for God the next time you're in that tough situation, you need to make sure that you're staying connected to God. And so what can I do to stay connected to God? You can read your Bible. Now, the first thing that I think of is that's a kids' church answer. And it is, but are you reading your Bible every day? And maybe you've got excuses and stuff like that. You just don't have time. That's a lie. You just have to make it a commitment, right? And so it takes 5 to 10 minutes. It's not that long. And read your Bible. I do Bible plans on my phone. I can do it with, I do it with the kids volunteers, I do it with the youth volunteers, and I actually do one on my own. That is Outreach New Testament. And for an entire year, you just keep going through the New Testament, and I think you go through it 3 times. And there's no questions or anything like that. But you just read it, and I don't like reading, so I listen to it. So you can press play, and the guy reads it to you. You can make the speed faster, and you just listen to it. So you can listen to it on your way to work, while you're cleaning, making dinner, whatever it is. And so what are some other ways that you stay connected to your spouse, kids, or friends? You talk to them, right? So talking to God should be a normal part of your life. And the great thing about prayer is that you can literally do it anytime, anywhere. right? So you can talk to God in the car, at work, before bed, the shower, while working out, while on a hike, literally anywhere. So in addition to that, you also need to keep in mind that prayer is a two-way conversation. You need to make sure that you're, like, getting rid of all the distractions and sitting in silence and just waiting on God to talk to you. And we're also not meant to walk this Christian journey alone. You need to make sure there's people in your life that encourage you and help you celebrate things, right? So join a small group. Joining a small group is a great way to have accountability in your life, and a successful small group should be safe. Safe environment where you can share the struggles, but also share the really good things. And those people in your small group, they want to see you grow closer to God. Those people want to help you by encouraging you to stand up for your faith at work, school, or even at the gas station. And another way that you can stay connected to God is by serving at the church. And this is the last one before we close. Serving is just another way to focus your energy and your time and your mind on God and on others. And I truly believe that if you're focusing on God, that when it comes down to it, the next time you're in a tough situation, you'll understand the importance of standing up for God and you'll actually act on it. So, I don't have any text messages. All right, so I want everyone to stand up. So, imagine what it would look like if that, like, what would happen in our communities if we stopped being scared of what others thought of us, right? What actually, what would they do when they saw that we were committed to God? And I believe that our actions are a huge testimony to the work of God in our life. And I believe that our friends, family members, or even neighbors would come to Christ because they see how we act in those situations. And so the next time you're in a tough situation, recognize your need for God. Rely on him completely to help you get through. And who knows, maybe because of those actions, your best friend, that family member that you've been praying for, whatever, maybe they'll come to know Christ and be a part of that big family. So my question for you this morning is, are you going to stand out by standing for God? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that we do get to stand up for you and not have to risk our life. So God, I pray that even if we are in those tough situations where we might feel embarrassed or scared or whatever, God, that you would give us the confidence and the boldness to just proclaim your name and ultimately just give you glory in everything that we do. And in your name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.